Pete, unfortunately, is MIA. He's got some basement water problems that he's taking care of, but that's okay. He's here in spirit. And so is Ska, because Ska is not dead, and it never will die.
This is Petey Page.
I am Mike.
J-Mac.
Brutal Dudes.
And we have a special guest. We have a special guest, because I said that totally wrong. But Nonstop to Cairo.
What's going on, everybody? This is Ash from Nonstop to Cairo. I'm one of the MCs and vocalists.
What's up, everybody? My name is Nick Diamond. I'm guitar and vocalist for Nonstop to Cairo.
And I think before, of course, getting ready for this, we were listening to your album. But I think before even that, I was trying to think of the best way that I could describe you guys to somebody who hasn't heard you. And I really wasn't coming up with anything, because I was naming like five different bands that I felt like could be influences on it that I can't sum it up that easily, which is a good thing. How would you guys describe yourselves to somebody who's never heard you before?
Best way to describe it, guys, we are this gritty New York, raw, energetic fusion of everything that makes music music. We all come from a vast array of musical past and what we listened to growing up, and I think it kind of translates with what we've put together with Nonstop to Cairo and our current project. So, you know, it's really like this New York fusion of rock and roll and hip hop and horns, a little ska here, reggae, and a little heavier rock, even you could say punk as well. And
funk too. There's a lot of funk elements. I loved it. I was like, that's
funk elements.
Don't forget the funk.
For sure. You can't forget the funk. So I just feel that we are the new age representation of what rock and roll music can be. And coming out of New York, it's just fresh, new, and something different. Honestly.
If you guys, on your next album, if you want to call it Don't Forget the Funk, you totally have my permission to use that line. I'm cool with it. I got no problems with it. I think that sounds really great. And I'm super proud that we all just figured it out and said it. So
we may have to put that in hold. May have to hold on to that one for a little bit. For the next project, for sure.
Now, is this album your first album? Because I did note it, like I saw the singles and the album on Spotify. So is this the first full length project?
So this is our second full length. Put out a 15 song LP back in 2017 called Dabble Heavy, and that was a big undertaking. And we kind of, that was our first big splurge, and we went all out on that one, with lots of different sounds and extra tracks and big recordings, and we love that album. This one, we kind of scaled things back a little bit to just focus on the songs themselves a little bit more, and the production of the songs, and really happy with how it came out.
Yeah, one of the things that I especially liked about it is that there wasn't, because I think you're starting to, there was a trend for a while of albums being, 20, 30 songs and people doing deluxe editions with basically a whole other album of material. And now I think people are kind of scaling back again, like doing the reverse of that. And you're seeing albums that are more succinct, and you're just getting, this shot of just the best material with no filler or anything like that. So I appreciated that as a listener getting into it.
Yeah, the Sum 41 album, all killer, no filler, I remember seeing that, being like, oh, that's clever.
they just broke up this week, right?
Yeah.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Well, they're doing one more tour.
Sum 41 breakup?
It was like an announcement. They called it a disbanding.
Yes.
They announced their disbanding.
It's rough. It's a rough time. Dude.
That sounds way nicer than breaking up, though.
It does. Yeah. It's very
mutual. Off the lips, you're like, oh, well, disbanding. Yeah. That's a little easier to take than breaking up, I would say.
Been, it's been a rough go. NoFX announced they're done.
Yeah,
Sum 41's done. Every Time I Die broke up. I'm like, what the fuck is happening to my music? Well, right now?
You know, Fat Mike's new project though. What is it called? The Interrupters or something, or I don't know. Is it's that like him? Or ska with hip hop or something. Ooh. Very cool. Very cool.
Check this out.
Yeah.
So now would be a good time then to shift over. What are some of the bands that kind of influenced you guys in putting this particular project together?
Oof, tough one. Some of the groups that I know have had a foundation with, you know, the four of us that put the project together, or just, you know, built the structure around this project. You know, we've grown up, you know, listening to these groups like 311, Rage Against the Machine, Sublime,
of course the Chili Peppers.
It's just certain fundamentals that I feel we've had as a group, on top of the stuff that we ventured out and, you know, just happen to like. You know, Nick, a couple of years ago, put me on to this badass group, and I'd never heard of them until he showed me. You guys hear of Head P?
Oh yeah, Head P. I almost interviewed them when I was in college.
Oh wow,
really?
Yeah. So it was when I was I used to work for the newspaper, and they used to give you press passes for anybody that came along. And what had happened was Head P. They made a you right? They made a.
I'm good.
Went down the wrong pipe. So they made it.
I don't know why I laughed while I was drinking.
Because I said smart ass shit. But they made an album for it. The song that was on it was called their sellout album. Later on, it was the one they had on Madden. They had a song on Madden.
Oh, Blackout.
Yeah. I really like that record. It's definitely. Great. If you're going to peg them as a sellout record, that's their sellout record. But it's good. And it was right after they did that, they went back to, like, I guess they're like hardcore punk roots.
Yes.
And they started doing a lot more like shred punk, I guess is the way to put it. And they came to Philly for that. And they were like, yo, we want you to go meet with them and the Murder Dolls.
And oh, I love the Murder Dolls.
The Murder Dolls.
Yeah. And I didn't.
That's such a weird pairing.
It really is, too. And I was like, oh, man. And I forget why I couldn't go to the show. But there's something came up that I couldn't go to the show. And it's not like a good, oh, I was getting an award, or like somebody was giving me like 20 grand. It was probably something like this chick with a huge rack was like, yo, let's go to the movies and see, I don't know, The Replacements or The Flintstones 2, Viva La Bedrock or whatever the fuck that movie was. And I probably went to that. And I'm like looking back like, I could have met Head PE, dude. I love them guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Youth, right?
I'm telling you, man. You know, I just, in that essence of these groups that, you know, kind of in ways not only transcended their genre, but transcended to the mainstream and allowed for bands that kind of have a bunch of stuff that's peppered in be sustainable, and, you know, people kind of draw attention to that. It's really cool, and it was very like inspiring for us. And then when putting this record together, we felt like after Dabble Heavy, we did have this like finite sound that we figured out ourselves, you know, just those days having that band practice. And when we narrowed it down, we knew what we wanted to bring in approaching this project. So the reason why there are so many songs on the actual album is we forced ourselves to play that quality over quantity. And, you know, we wanted that 23 minutes or 25 minutes, I'm not sure what it was, Nick, to be memorable and something you guys can be like, okay, let's go back to the first track after you're done with the last one. So
no, and it's and I definitely think that from what I've listened to, I definitely think that translates, that comes across in the music. Because one of the things that I really liked is that you guys didn't just, like, it's not just you're listening to the songs and it doesn't end up just being like a like a rap sheet of like, hey, we can do all of this with the computer, or like, this is all the sounds of what music is today. It's kind of like you did your own version of it, which I feel like a lot of people don't like. A lot of people are just like, oh, there's a guy with a whiny voice. Let's do whiny voice singing and that'll be our band. And it's like, you guys it's very much your own identity comes across in the music, I guess is the best way to put it, because you're not trying to like pretend that you're trying to do something else. Like, you're not going out there and singing a song like Scott Weiland and being like, yeah, we're not Stone Temple Pilots, but like, we do sound a little bit like them. It's like, no, you're like, this is us. If you don't like it, go fuck yourselves. Like this, like us or don't yeah. like us, move on. If you don't like later.
Yeah. I think, honestly, I think one of our best traits is our uniqueness of how we come across and we formed this kind of sound for quite some time now. You know, we've been working on this since 2009, this particular sound. So it took a little while to get to a certain place, but now we're like in it. We're in the, I would say we're in the thick of it. We know what we want to do. We know what we're good at, and what we're good at is mixing up a lot of different styles and putting it on one album and making it all sound like one band.
Yeah. And I mean, there's definitely too, like one of the things that you guys, that I don't feel like happens to you guys at all is like with that type of music making, especially that I've noticed you there's a tendency to like fall into the pothole of like, oh, I have to get everything in every song. Like you have to know that I was like into like, you can't just have funk for one song, right? It's got to be like, well, I got to make sure there's horns in there. And then we got to sound emo too, because that's our sound. It's like, you very much just make the music and it like comes across as your sound. And then you're like, oh, okay. It almost, not that I was like, you know, sneaking behind the closed doors while you're recording and I saw this, but it very much seems like, you know, this would be good here. And then it's like, we don't need any of that other shit right now for this song. Like, let's put that in a different song. And then it's like, you go to the next song and it's like, okay, there's some more elements and stuff in there, but you don't need them all at once. Like, you took what's necessary for each song to come across the right way. And it's like, it's coming across the right way, at least for me.
Thank you.
No, we do appreciate that. And I think that is what we have learned in the process of Dabble Heavy and Kai coming out so spread out from one another. When we lost our bandmate Kevin in 2020, it was a long process, just getting back the ideas of going into the studio and putting something together. But in that process, we learned through that time and that patience that space is everything in music. We went from 2017 Dabble Heavy cramming as much as we could into the album to, because we want to just fill it with everything. It was our angst, it was our anxieties, it was just,
and it's good.
Dreams. It was good as hell too. You know, it was just a lot of gumbo. That's what we like to call it, that musical gumbo. We just had an array of stuff, and when we sit back and look at it, you know, as young guys and getting your first project out, you could think that is like, you know, your first, yeah, I don't want to be pretentious about it, but your first nut, like, oh my God, like we're out in the world, let's go. And you just want to give it your all. And sitting back, looking at that now, and just how we've matured as musicians and songwriters, what we did with this album really, really shows a little, more of a level of maturity, a little evolution in the sound that we've already kind of found and identified for ourselves. But now we have more confidence with it because we spent so much time with it, and we can really take it anywhere we want in the array or setup of how we want to play and just make it our own. So I'm very proud of these guys and who allowed us to put this project together, and the guys who recorded and the extras who were a part of it, because it really made for something special down the line.
Yeah, it's got to be tough if you lose a bandmate, especially somebody that's your friend, to just get back in and do the same thing, you know, that you were doing with him without him there. You know, that's got to be rough. So you know, kudos to being able to get through that and still make something, you know, that's beautiful out of it, out of something so tragic.
Kevin meant a lot to us. And especially on Long Island, guys, he did a lot of things in the community that was just outside of the music that people are already going to be and forever be touched by. So dedicating this album to him was the least we could do with the impact that he had on us as musicians and just the people that were around him. And he's deeply missed, but I do believe with what we put down, he's very proud of us. He probably has a couple of critiques, I'm very sure of. And I laugh about that all the time because he always had something to say, which was super helpful always.
And he did play on the song Tia. That was the last, that was the first song that actually started the project way back in 2020 when we didn't even know what the project was.
And yeah, that was the last song he was on, as a matter of fact.
Well, that is awesome that you guys got to include that. Now, you know, we've been talking about the album. Other than streaming services, there are physical copies that people can purchase as well?
We do have physical copies. We are working on getting an online setup. But, you know, you can always come request one from us at a show or hit us up on social media and we'll handle
it. Yes, definitely come to a show before we mail that shit to you.
Feel that. We're just getting started with our merch. And I was just like, man, these fucking shipping costs are going to be insane.
It's wild out here nowadays, but you got to get it to the people. Am I right?
That's right. Are you guys coming to Philly anytime soon? Philly area?
Do you want us to come to Philly?
Yeah, why not?
Fucking come to Philly.
We would love to get back to Philly. It's been a while. Nonstop was there many, many moons ago. But we would love to come back. What's the good venues right now?
What's
hot? What's TLA still up? We'll knock it out the park.
I think TLA is still up. I don't know if anything close to here, because we're Northeast. So we're like
Northeast Philly. Philly.
Yeah, so we're like, yeah, we're the mild side.
Now, obviously, people are going to want to come and check you guys out. They're going to want to buy merch. Anybody listening to this, you're now contractually obligated to go out to a show and buy merch.
That's for sure. Appreciate that, Mike.
You guys said you're going to have physical copies available. Is that going to be CD? Are you guys doing vinyl or anything like that as well?
We have CDs ready, locked and loaded, good to go. Vinyls, we do not have available just yet. We do have vinyls available of our previous album, Dabble Heavy. So those are locked and loaded and good to go. But any other way you can find our new album, Kai, that'll be through all music media that is available now. I mean, from Tidal to Spotify to Apple.
Vinyl's going to be on the way. Any cassettes or anything like that? I ask for myself because I'm a cassette guy.
Oh, man. I wish.
No cassettes, man, but...
I'll make you a personal one.
Thank you.
We have these sick-ass holographic stickers that just dropped. They are super fresh, and the merch is super fresh. A1 sauce, I promise.
Love it.
What kind of merch can people expect?
You know, the somewhat traditional but new age Nonstop to Cairo. I mean, it's a travel theme with it, you know, not being Nonstop to Cairo to this destination, this mysterious place. So with that, the merch kind of coincides with that and what the album has to offer as well, visually and aesthetically. So it's just definitely something to check out. You can see some of the artwork. It was done by T London Visuals online, and the artwork for graphics were done by Tyler Purin, who's absolutely fantastic. So something to check out.
You know, you could probably make this is what I usually do too. I try and think of something like really cool that's like specific merch for you guys. So you're like Nonstop to Cairo, so that's like Egyptian, right? You could put like a neck pillow, but that's kind of like the Sphinx, the Egyptian king
in the shape of a Sphinx.
How the King Tut has the he had the things on his side.
Yeah.
Pulled down to a neck pillow, but you're also like, that'd be pretty amazing. Rad, right?
That's amazing.
Right. Just lay on the
I'm back, so old back. Now. As soon as he said neck pillow, I was like, oh, that is good merch.
Great idea.
Just sell us the copyright for the low and we'll
look over
residuals.
I got you. I'll send you a what's it called? A prototype? Yeah. just go to the patent office. You guys got it.
That would be badass.
People helping people, baby. That's what we do here at Brutal Dudes. Where did you come up with the name from?
Well, so I'm an avid hockey fan myself, and at the time I happened to be coming home from a Rangers playoff game.
Don't lose friends.
I saw an online ad on the train, on the LIR, Delta ads, nonstop to Cairo flight starting at $299.
I love it.
And I just thought it was kind of cool at the time. Nothing was decided right then and there. But we had to sit down in a room one day and make a decision because we had started playing shows without a name. And that one happened to get remembered, written down on the list of like 50 names that we had. And that was the only one that we were like, we don't hate it. You know, by the time we were in there for hours trying to fight and debate about this, you know, so by that point, everybody said, we don't hate that one.
Listen, also, Nick, just so you know, when you were telling that story, I totally heard the New York come out in your voice, man. I caught that shit 100%. I'm like, yo, he's got that accent going right now. Oh, yes. You probably hear it in mine too, but man, I was like, damn, that's very New York.
See, that's how you know I'm feeling comfortable and getting into my natural natural.
Yeah, Northeast one isn't as much fun. It's just sort of like, yeah, open the window. Yeah, you guys, what are you doing? Get this drawn.
I'll tell you, it's funny though, because we with the name we kind of took to it with the journey of like an impossible place at the time, like, oh, we're never going to Cairo, like nonstop to Cairo, so we'll always be on this journey kind of thing. And but over the years, the nonstop part of it kind of took over too, like just on a mission and not giving up. And
it very much, when I first heard it very much gave me big ups, Rush vibes. Because their song Passage to Bangkok, that always, whenever like a foreign city is mentioned, even if it's not a foreign city, the foreign name like Cairo, that always reminds me of that song. And it, I mean, in a way, that's very much the type of music that you guys are doing. It's very influenced and like it's mixed with a lot of stuff. That was always what Rush did.
Yeah.
And I really like that it's like you're like a burgeoning Rush from New York.
That is probably one of the nicest compliments that has ever been recorded about us. So we're gonna hold on to that dear to our hearts.
Please do, man. I love Rush. Rush is one of my favorite bands.
Yeah, it's like, badass.
As soon as I heard it, I'm like, yo, Passage to Bangkok.
I just thought it was a cool name. So obviously mine falls way short of Jimmy's.
Oh, we appreciate you too, Mike.
Thank you. So, I mean, obviously, everybody listening to this now, they're contractually obligated to come out and see you guys play. I think everybody also agreed in the contract they signed by clicking on Spotify or Apple to listen to this that they're going to buy some merch. So, are there any shows that are currently booked so that they can start planning their contractual obligations to come and see you guys?
Well, I will say this, in less than a month, we are actually having a really, really dope show in Huntington, Long Island, at this venue called Industry. It is a very happening spot. It will be our very first time playing there, and we have the Big Happy playing with us, a band out of town, I think from Massachusetts, Hedonistas, and Ben, I hope I'm saying this right, Pinola will be playing with us as well for the night, and it's going to be jam-packed, very bunch of groups that are very eclectic in their sounds, very different, very original, and yeah, we're going to be bumping for June 9th. You guys should come out. Take a trip, little van bus or something.
That's not a bad idea. I was thinking that myself just now. I was like, you know, we could get to Long Island. I've been to the Duck. I've seen the Duck.
You've seen the Duck?
Oh, yeah, man. The Long Island Ducks.
Oh, come on, bro. There's no problem.
Actually, what's ironic is...
skipping a jump from Philly, man.
What's ironic is I live in Levittown, Pennsylvania.
Oh, wow.
Levittown, Long Island.
Throwing me off. That's giving me vibes.
Yeah. And it's and that's, but there's a Levittown in Long Island. My only worry is that I would go there and I would meet like my New York doppelganger. And I live at Red Maple is my street. And I would go to like Maple and he would be there and he would be just like a big dude with fucking like Rangers gear, like Mets gear. And I got my Phillies jersey and I'd be like, what's up, guy? Now we got to fight. Cause when you see somebody that's your doppelganger, you got to fight.
It's like a Power Rangers scene or something.
That's Hitchcock.
Jim, I'm letting you know now, Jim, you would have to kill that man. It's like a form of Highlander. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Well, there can only be one.
It's Hitchcock. He said, if you ever meet your doppelganger, you have to kill him because he's going to be trying to kill you. And I'm not going out like that.
But
like,
what about time cop rules? What if you guys touch?
Ooh, that's a good point. See?
Oh, paradox.
That'd be crazy. Would that be crazy, though, if two of me showed up at your show, one in a Philly, one dressed like the Fanatic, the other one in all Rangers gear? We just started yelling in our accents, like throwing shit in the crowd. They'd be like, damn, dude, what did we get ourselves into?
Now we owe them both merch.
does that ever become a problem, really? Because that you said that one band is from Boston. Do they ever give you, because I know that Boston and New York sports wise don't get along very well. Does that ever, do you guys ever get shit for that?
No.
You know what? It's always been good vibes wherever we go, and like, you know, we'll announce that, hey, there might be a Ranger fan in
that. Yeah, I talk a little quick chat.
You know, it's everybody's kind of chill with it. There'll be some hardcore guys out there, but you know, you shoot the shit, make friends.
I wish I could say the same. I don't have those same experiences, man. I go to other cities and people, because we're confrontational, right? Phillies. So Philly just in general. So it's like wherever we go, people are like, oh, that dude, we got to take it. It's like they got a challenge. And it's like, that's why we're always on edge. Because wherever we go, like we can't like, it's like when you're like, it's like when I put it like this. It's like when you're M&M and you're trying to have a burger and those people come up and bother you when you're with your kid. It's like they want that fight because they want that rep. It's like, oh, yo, there's a Philly family. We got to take this, right? So I'll be sitting there and I'll be like, yo, I'm just trying to burger my kid. Even though I don't have a kid. I'm just doing the M&M reference. Like,
but the guy's like, there is no kid there, sir.
I don't like, stand.
but that's, yeah, it's, I, we always, there's always like, I remember I was in Tampa and some dudes tried to come at me and I was stupid because it was like, there's probably like 10 frat dudes. And they were like, I was at a Rays game. It's my bad because I wore a Phillies shirt to a Rays game where the Phillies weren't playing. Right. But I was just, it's Florida. Like who cares?
No rules. No rules. It's Florida.
They got alligators running around like fucking crazy.
I think that's what's on their like tourist t-shirts at the airport. It's Florida. Who cares?
So we're there and these guys, they started talking trash. And I was looking and they were like, oh man, Phillies. Glad the Phillies are even playing. And I looked right over at him and I didn't think because I was by myself. I was waiting for my friend Marcus. He was in the bathroom. And I was like, oh yeah, the Rays. How many World Series did they win? And I was like, oh, that's right. Who'd they lose to? Yeah, they lost to the Phillies, I think. Oh, wait, that's my jersey. Shit, dude, my bad. And then they were all just like, yeah, yeah. And I was like, dude, go get the fuck out of here. And then Marcus came out and they were like, oh. We've been friends since we were like 5 years. Marcus is like a big black guy. And it's like, these were all like white frat kids. So they like came up and they're talking trash. As soon as Marcus walked out, that underlying racism was like, they were like, we don't want to fight there. And I'm like, yeah, that's right. Step to us, motherfucker. Come on. Now let's go.
This is the rest of the episode is just Florida hate.
Perfect timing.
It was great. They were like, but Marcus had all Phillies gear on too, because he's a diehard Phillies fan.
Oh, no. And I will say, I went to South Philly probably last fall. We went out with some friends, got to go see Red Hot Chili Peppers, Thundercat, and the Strokes.
They were playing at
the Philly Stadium. You were there?
Hell yeah. We did an episode because I don't like the guy from the Strokes. Because he dissed the Phillies, he dissed the stadium.
Oh, wait. Hold on. So you know what I'm talking about. How he was acting at the show. Okay, so I'm not the only person that saw that.
Oh, everybody was talking about him.
That was wild.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe he was spouting that out of his mouth. He was just the rudest shit. And that, I'd never seen the Strokes. I'd been dying to see them for years. So when that bill came up, I was super excited. And when they started the show, and I think he was talking about how he's like an avid Met fan, but that was like the rudest shit I'd ever.
Oh man, he set me off. There's an episode.
So rude. He didn't want to be there. He just looked like.
Yeah, if you go back, first of all, he looked like a tool because he had like a Michael Jackson glove on.
Oh, it was straight like leather.
Not big enough to cover his whole leather. Yeah. It was. I told you. I went. I'm telling you. I did a rant a couple of episodes back about the show because I was like, I am so pissed at this. But I said I have a new. Which reminds me, I almost forgot to do my. Before I get into that story, I got to ask you guys something that's very important to the show that I ask everybody that comes onto the show. I don't know if you guys got to listen to any of our episodes beforehand. If not, it's not a big deal, man. We just appreciate you coming on. But how do you feel about Jared Leto?
I got to say I'm neutral. I'm neutral on him.
He really fucked up Joker for me. I just really put a bad.
I didn't even see that one.
No, it's not worth it.
I'm putting together a group called Friends Against Leto.
Oh,
because I don't want him to ruin any more of the franchises that I love.
It's a little cruel. I can understand, but it's a little cruel.
He picked a fight with me back in the day.
Oh wow. This is like a personal vendetta.
And I don't see anybody that comes on. You don't have to not like Leto. But you don't have to like him either. And I just want you to know that it's completely your choice. However, this motherfucker tried to fight me in a concert. And I was not a fan of this. It's eaten me up for a long time. We're trying to get him on the show to squash his beef. He won't come on. X-Rated called him out. My buddy Righteous called him out.
What was the scenario?
I'm trying to get this to happen because... he just sucks in every way that you can suck.
You guys should set up a boxing match and really.
I said anything. I'll play him in Donkey Kong. I'll play him. I'll have a fucking hot dog eating contest and beat him. I'll shoot threes like Steph Curry, and I'm not even good at basketball. And I'll
all day.
He's terrible. My man is terrible. He's a cancer to this world, and it needs to be taken out. Anyway. If I got to be the radiation treatment that takes this motherfucker out, I don't care. I'll do it. But all I'm saying is I just wanted to know. I just like to have the support of people. So, like, if you guys, you know, again, go back, look at some of the stuff he's done. Maybe rethink your evaluation of him. You still want to be neutral. Totally cool. If you realize that his movies suck and that his music sucks and that pretty much everything he does sucks, then... You know, you come back on.
What band is he in again?
I'll make sure to send you an email ASAP if I change my mind.
It's an open invite to Friends Against Leto. We don't even judge. We don't discriminate. Anybody wants to come on, you're welcome in the group, man. This ain't Scientology. You don't have to pass some sort of weird fucking math test to get into the group. You just hang out and you're cool. Okay, now that's said, so the guy with the stroke. So we went... So this is my other. He almost is a Leto. Like I was very close to forming a strokeless band because I wanted to take that guy out. He had me fuming. I went with my sisters, my younger sisters. Mm. We got club box seats because when I buy Phillies tickets, they give you the pre-sale, so you can buy the seats cheaper than you normally would buy them. So I got us club box seats for like regular seat thing. And so we're in the luxury section. I'm like, this is great. I should do this for every fucking concert that comes there. And then Thundercat came on. Now I kind of knew who Thundercat was, but I didn't really know him until he played. He was fucking awesome.
Fantastic.
Man. I was like, we tried to get him on the show. We're still trying to get him on the show. I was like, I love this dude. He's awesome. Didn't know he was in all the bands that he was in and all the shit he was doing. I just love it. Anyway, so I was like, wow, that's cool. I hope the Strokes are as good as he is. Well, spoiler alert, they weren't. This dude came out, and he was one of the biggest tools I've ever heard. And it wasn't even like – I'm cool if you do banter against the crowd, right? Because it, bands, people are from different places. I get it.
It's fun.
But like, this dude was, he was, this was more than just, like, he was taking pot shots. Mm. And I'm like, A, the Mets aren't good enough for you to be taking these shots against the Phillies, number one. Number two, I doubt that you very much in my life that you went to a bunch of baseball games with that goofy leather fucking jacket and them shit-ass sunglasses you were wearing and had a good time. Because I'd have been making fun of you as a Mets fan if you had a Mets jersey on.
In all honesty, I was trying to figure out where he was, where they were coming from the last show, because he had to have been on something.
Yeah,
and then popped up on stage. It was a little wild, like what was coming out of his mouth. I was shocked.
Yeah, and listen, I get it. You have a cheesesteak or two while you're in town. It doesn't affect you like it affects the normal food that you have. You eat too many tasty cakes. You're on a sugar buzz going down. Like, it's cool, man. I get it, but like, he just was overstepping his boundaries, and I'm like, dude, your band is not even that good enough for me to want to listen to you or your opinion. Like, I'm sorry. The Strokes were cool back when I was in, I don't know, my first year of college, but since that's been over for about 15 years, you know, it's like, we're cool. Like, you're still going to ride the same wave? Like, he reminded me of, like, in the movies when you see the washed-up rock star, and he's got the same leather jacket that he wore when he was 15, and his, like, belly comes out like a cummerbund. That's what it reminded me of. I'm like, oh, look, he's still wearing the same clothes he wore when he was in high school. That's cute.
Now, what'd you think of the Chili Peppers, though?
Oh, my God.
This is magic.
I mean, magic. Yeah, like, it's blood sugar sex magic. Ah.
Yes, here. Yes.
It was so good. And then once I realized they were not going off of a set list, I was like, get the fuck out of here. They were calling the songs from the stage.
It was great.
And then they did Me and My Friends, which is like,
I love that Chili song. Peppers.
Yeah. But that's like one of my favorite. I'm like, my sisters didn't even know what was going on. They were like, what song is this? And I was like, this is a song that you were too young to listen to when I was listening to this song.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
People around are like, what album is this from? Is this from Californication? I was like, yeah, it's from the Extended.
School like, them.
You know, it's something magical about those guys that I can see why, like, younger bands still aspire to be that level. You know, the fact that Kiedis walked off the stage with Chad for a second, and then Flea just started going off, like, without any thought about what he was doing. It was just, he was going off, and then Kiedis comes back on after grabbing his breath, and they were, like, right back to it.
Yep.
It was that kind of teamwork and synergy that, you know, you aspire to see when you're together that long. And, you know, just jumping back to like what we do with the guys and Nonstop, it's that is another reason why Red Hot Chili Peppers and bands like that are a foundation of kind of what we aspire to end up being, that longevity and being able to change up your sound through all these years, but still keep it you. You know, you still know it's Chili Peppers, even though it could be something way crazier than what you're used to. And I shoot for that.
With are you guys going to try and be in a movie like Point Break?
Yes.
You know the Chili Peppers.
Yo, if anybody gives me a movie contract, motherfucker, I'm in it. Sign me Lee, the fuck up.
Lee, Morbius 2. Got a whole second career as an actor there, you know?
Exactly.
You guys, here's the premise. Morbius 2. You guys kill Jared Leto in the first 5-10 minutes of the movie, and then the movie goes in a totally different direction.
You see, I didn't even see the first Morbius because I just wanted to detain
myself. I don't think anyone did.
From being upset.
Nope. I love the memes were the best part of that movie for me.
And he's a great comic book character, too. As coming from a comic book guy.
Hurts me, so, dude. It hurts me.
I left that one alone.
I was like, man, come on. That's what I'm saying. He ruins all the franchise. They signed him in for Tron. He's going to do Tron 3.
Oh.
Like, you're going to ruin Tron with Jared Leto.
What?
Yeah. Huh? I was like, unless he's the voice of the motorcycle, that's the only thing he's going to like, unless he's going.
I was going to say, not even talking, just making a revving noise.
He's like George Clooney in South Park, where he just does the voice of the gay dog.
Yes.
It's just, whoop, whoop. Like, that's perfect.
I get it. He's like a Vin Diesel's group. Like, this is all
exactly.
All you're allowed to be.
I can't even imagine what other movie franchise you're gonna ruin. Did you see their new video for 30 seconds? It's terrible.
You sent it to me. Yeah, I haven't checked
it. 30 seconds.
I'm sorry. I keep going off. We're making this too much about Leto. He's already taken up enough of my life. I don't want to do this. No.
This is not nonstop to Leto.
Nonstop to Leto.
Renegade Leto.
Well, so you guys have that big show coming up. Is there more dates booked? Like, is this the start of a tour, or are you guys still getting all that together?
We have a couple more local things. We have an annual boat show that we do in August out of Cat Tree. That's always a really fun time. And then we might have another festival that we're doing locally in September, but we are planning to get out on the road and start hitting the local areas, Jersey, Philly, upstate New York, places like that. And absolutely.
You should, I don't know how many are left in this year, but you said you're into comics. Like you should look and see maybe doing a Comic-Con. I know they look for like stuff to do, like the after parties and stuff.
Oh, really?
That'd be kind of, yeah, yeah. When I was just at the Philly one in Oaks, and I go to Rhode Island every year for the Comic-Con there. And it's like, they have like a backstage party or an after party after the thing closes. And they always are looking for like live bands and DJs and stuff. I bet they would love to have somebody come on. That'd be rad as shit too. You'd have a bunch of fucking Grogu's running around. a bunch of Leto's running around.
That'd be something to look into, actually. So
yeah
man. Dude, listen, if you come to Rhode Island, I'll already be there. So I'll definitely come check it out. I'm like, yo, I know these guys. And then the fucking lady that's dressed like Akira is gonna be like, I don't even know who you are. And I'll be like, oh, okay, well, fuck you, lady. Go right. Like,
well, listen to this band. They're good.
Fuck yeah, this band is fucking awesome. Shut up. Go put your bike down. Put your weird staff down that isn't effective in a real fight. And go inside and talk to the band. They're good.
The foam staff, yes.
Yeah, right. Put your foam axe down, dwarf, and go inside and listen to the music.